Welcome to the Eastern New Zealand Podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today, once again, we're going to run through a list of recent Star Wars news announcements that have come across our desk in the last week and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports. Leading the news, Jon Favreau has been using his social media to share a little bit more about the Mandalorian live-action television series. Last week, he tweeted out two photographs of props from the set where filming is taking place now as we speak. These were interesting little pieces to see. The first was a weapon, the second was a miscellaneous piece of technology. The weapon is a long blaster rifle, the stock of which seems to match that seen in the photograph of the Mandalorian main character that was released on StarWars.com earlier. But the emitted end of this weapon is a two-pronged device which seems to resemble, interestingly, an Amban phase pulse blaster, which is the weapon that was seen in the infamous 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special, the animated story contained therein, where Boba Fett riding his giant dinosaur was seen holding a weapon of this type, a long blaster rifle with a two-pronged emitter. It's not a weapon that fires blaster bolts per se. It has a strange energy emission that comes out from each of the two prongs and converges. So this could, if it is in fact more than just a visual homage to that, this could represent a weapon technology we haven't seen in live-action television series. So a lot of speculation going on around the internet related to that single simple image and its possibilities. The other piece of technology that we saw shared in one of the photos is clearly a real-world ice cream maker that has been dressed up with buttons and greeblies to make it look a bit more mysterious. The last time we saw one of these was in The Empire Strikes Back, where background character Luro Hood is seen running through the corridors of Cloud City, escaping from the Empire, holding his precious ice cream maker.
This particular prop has a little bit of a fan following over the years, and a growing number of fans have dressed up as Roro Hood in the orange flight suit and often group up together and do the running of the hoods through conventions where everyone teams up with their ice cream makers and moustaches. It's quite fun to see this little fan favourite item being included, whether we'll see it notably on screen or not, is up to.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah, but it's a fun little sneak peek.
And obviously, he knew that this would be something that would be recognised by a subset of fans, and that's why it's included as a bit of a tease at this point in the production. So that was last week. We haven't seen any more since then, but hopefully we will see a bit more bits and pieces leaked out via social media from Jon Favreau in this manner. Look forward to seeing that sort of thing. Let's talk a little bit about some Star Wars games and developments therein. The Galaxy of Heroes, we've touched on the notion that character Revan, the Jedi version, Jedi Revan, will be coming out, or is in fact out now as we speak. Can you tell us about that?
Yep, the character unlock event has just started. This is a multi-step event where you take your Old Republic characters and you fight against various enemies. The first stage, you fight against a Rancor alongside Revan, and the unlock event follows the basic plotline of the Knights of the Old Republic video game. You start out fighting enemies in the Underworld Terrace and you progress along collecting companions as you go using the KOTOR Knights of the Old Republic characters that you will have unlocked in earlier events. Now, for most players, you won't be able to unlock Revan this time around, as the Revan unlocks at a full 7-star max level, which requires you to have all of the Old Republic characters fully maxed out as well. Personally, most of my characters are around 4 stars, this isn't enough, and so there has been a lot of fan discussion about whether they think this new character is worth spending the amount of money it will take to max level all your other characters to unlock him. By all the previews from the YouTubers, we have seen that Revan is a game changer in this format. He is going to be a very powerful Jedi and Old Republic character, and personally I'm looking very much forward to being able to unlock him the next time this event comes around.
So acquiring this character in the game is quite a challenge. It's going to take either time or investment of real-world money, isn't it? And if it takes time, it's not even going to be. These events cycle around on a recurrent basis, and you might have to wait for it to come back around next time, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he'll have a similar event timing like Jedi Training Ray or Commander Luke Skywalker. It's that level of event with these really legendary characters that make you work hard to get them.
Okay, so there's been a couple of news articles released giving a little bit more detail about this Jedi Revan character. In the SWNZ Digest, we have linked to the brief video from Electronic Arts and also a blog from one of the EA developers that talks about the designing of the character behind the scenes. So they're both worth checking out. But either the game Galaxy of Heroes or the Legends content, Knights of the Old Republic, are of interest to you. Staying on the topic of games, something that's close to both of our interests, and is the Old Republic online role-playing game. There was a extensive live stream late last week, Friday New Zealand time, over 90 minutes worth of content from a number of developers swapping in and out of the chairs, and they were focusing on the upcoming content in the 5.10 release that we're expecting in December. They reiterated a bit of information that we already know about that, but they expanded on the storyline that will be playable either by characters that are up to that level, or I believe you can actually, if you really want to jump to it, you can start new characters and auto-complete all of the content up to that level. This new storyline centres around the planet Phossus, some fans will be familiar with and will have heard of before. But just stepping back one minute, the roadmap, the content released in 5.10 that we're expecting includes a Nightmare or Master Mode version of the Gods from the Machine Raid, a tier increase in the armour level, tier 5 armour will be available, will be craftable, it will be acquirable via a number of different pathways. This is a good thing. It means that regardless of the type of content playing that you prefer, you should be able to get this much higher level of gear. In the past, some of that gear acquisition has been restricted to people playing group content, which has been a little bit frustrating for those of us that focus a little bit more on solo player content. And they reiterated the guild improvements, the guild management and guild interface improvements that we're expecting, one of which was a little bit interesting. There'll be a reduction in the purchase cost for guild ships, guild starships. I don't know what the final value for that will be. They did note that a new system that they called Guild Heraldry, which we don't know a lot about yet, has been bumped to a future release. One little thing that is of interest if you are playing this game, if you're familiar with the notion of adding flair to your character portraits in the game, there's a special code that if you enter via your Swotor.com account, you get quite nice visually appealing new flair option to add to your character. The code for that is SWCantina2018, that is Swotor.com account, and you can apply that flair to your characters in the game. But the Ossus storyline, this was of particular interest to us. They showed us some visuals that were fantastic. I thought they were really well designed. I've included one of these in the SWNZ Digest and links to others that you can check out if you don't consider that a spoiler. This new storyline is based around the rivalry between Sith and Jedi, which is being reignited in the content slowly that is currently present, but that's obviously going to flare up this new content release. They also talk about new characters and returning companions that will be associated directly with that Ossus storyline. Now, Ossus is a really interesting planet. It's visually interesting, but it's also historically interesting because it's been referred to a lot in the old Star Wars lore, the old Legends lore. In about 25,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, the Jedi expanded from their initial home planet of Tython and established a Jedi Academy and library on Ossus. So it's known as a hub of Jedi training in the deep distant Star Wars past. But when the Jedi Knight Exar Kun turned to the dark side and became a Dark Lord of the Sith and initiated the Great Sith War, direct attacks on Ossus took place, and ultimately that war culminated in the detonation of the Kron cluster, a group of stars in that region, the shockwave of which devastated the planet Ossus and left it in a state that we will be seeing in the game when it becomes available. So some very interesting visuals associated with this planet. There's a lot of Jedi ruins and Jedi history associated with the planet. We're going to, at the point where we're visiting it in the Star Wars The Old Republic game, it is a planet inhabited largely by Jedi. And I think that's setting the stage for the ongoing conflict between the Jedi and the Sith.
One interesting little snippet that they revealed about this new storyline is that you're going to have the option to play as a loyalist or a saboteur. So you can either stay true to the faction that your class is with, so Jedi are aligned with the Republic and the Jedi Order, so you could choose to be a loyalist, or you could choose to be a saboteur and try it if your character has gone to the dark side or has perhaps made some dark side choices along the game. You can choose to be a saboteur and undermine, sort of be a bit of a double agent. So that's some interesting gameplay for people that feel like their personal choices through the gameplay have led them to diverge away from the faction that they're aligned with. So I think this could be a really neat sort of way of changing up the storyline from character to character.
Yeah, and that is something that people have kind of asked for some time. In fact, going right back to the early days of the game, at this point in the game, you cannot change from being a strictly Empire-affiliated character or Republic character per se, because that adds complications in terms of what storylines and what planets and what space stations you can access. But they're obviously letting you effectively do that.
You'll get the sort of in-world storyline effect of turning you back on your allegiances without missing the actual mechanics and gameplay.
And like you say, it does multiply the number of story options and story paths that your characters will be able to follow. So if, like us, you have many, many characters that you've actually established in the game rather than just one or two main ones, playing through this story arc need not feel repetitive. So Ossa's pretty much looking forward to this. As I say, it is a planet and a piece of Star Wars canon, Star Wars history that you may be familiar with. It's actually been mentioned many times over in the old Legends publications, going right back to the Tales of the Jedi, the Golden Age of the Sith comics, the Jedi Academy novels, the Dark Empire 2 comics, right through to the New Jedi Order, and even the Yuuzhan Vong War, and beyond, and into the Legacy comics, the era with K. Skywalker. So it is showing up over and over because of its significance to the Jedi history. And now, of course, the question that always comes up when people talk about new story developments in Star Wars The Old Republic is, does this mean that these concepts are becoming canon? Just reiterate that the content in Star Wars The Old Republic occupies a kind of interesting aspect from the point of view of the Lucasfilm story group, in that it is not truly current canon, but because it is so far removed from all the current goings-on in the Star Wars universe, it is developed and written and constructed in parallel without necessarily being considered canon, so it could theoretically be overridden, but it is internally consistent. There's not a lot of internal logical conflict in the stories that are taking place in that era. It's quite well spaced out, and because it's thousands, if not tens of thousands of years prior to the original trilogy, prequel and sequel trilogies, and other Star Wars story content, it's not likely to actually cause a lot of lore conflict.
Yeah, obviously going forward with the Disney takeover and the sort of clean slate, most of the stories have been very central around the Star Wars saga films, and the Old Republic game predates the Disney takeover, but it is one of the few projects that continued through. We saw Clone Wars come to a finish because that was obviously in that film era, but SWTOR has continued and been able to develop the stories without major shifts.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it spans the Lucasfilm era and the Disney takeover, the Disney purchase. It's a unique property in that regard, and it doesn't strictly canonize characters like Revan, but it is satisfying to see these characters still respected and utilized in the game a number of times it has, and partly because of its existence in Star Wars The Old Republic. It sees Revan in particular sees continued popularity, still showing up as action figures, and now the inclusion of Galaxy of Heroes, which is also developed by EA. And I'd like to think that ultimately that story arc, that characterization will all be canonized, but we'll just have to wait and see. Other news that we've covered in the East Devonshire News Digest, we took a look at the latest episode of the Our Star Wars Stories digital series, which is available through this, the official Star Wars YouTube channel. This week they interview Christina Cato, who is a US-based astromech builder. She's constructed her own fully electronic R2 series robot. They talk to her and her passion for building and creating, being a bit of a role model to other women in particular that want to build or get involved in those sort of aspects of the Star Wars fandom. She started a Facebook-based initiative called the Stardust Builders Initiative, where other women who are interested in R2 building or costume construction get together and collaborate and share ideas and support. Battlefront 2, there's some developments coming there related to Clone Wars content and Clone Wars characters. Starting later this month, not far off, a little over a week, we will be seeing General Grievous introduced into the game. He will be voiced by Matthew Wood, who works for Skywalker Sound, but has also voiced a number of Star Wars characters going right back to the prequel trilogy movies. And obviously he's done General Grievous in every iteration of that character along the way. General Grievous as a character will be introduced in Battlefront 2 on October 30th, and will be followed by a number of other Clone Wars characters, each of which will be voiced by the original Clone Wars actors. So some of these Clone Wars actors have been a little bit busy with the revival of the Clone Wars animated TV series, They're also doing work for the games as well in the background. And November, so still this year, we'll see James Arnold Taylor contributing to the Obi-Wan Kenobi character. Corey Burton will be returning as Count Dooku in January, and Matt Lanter will be returning as Anakin Skywalker in February of next year.
It's neat to see some of the more prequel and Clone Wars era content being introduced into the latest Battlefront game. It was strictly an original trilogy set game when it came out, so it's neat to see some of the other games. I really enjoyed the Clone Wars era clone troopers and battle droids fights from the very original Battlefront games. So it's fun to see some of that content being introduced in the new era with the great graphics.
The latest episode of the Star Wars show has screened. It was a fairly, dare I say, lightweight episode this time around, but still always worth a quick check out. They're not long episodes. They talked to Matt Wood, and interviewed him about his return to work on the Clone Wars and his voice of General Grievous in the Battlefront 2 game, so that's tying back into the content we were just discussing.
It's kind of fun hearing him do his General Grievous and Battle Droid voices before the sort of mechanical manipulations. I always think that's kind of fun when you know that there's such an alteration of the voice. Hearing what the original kind of sounds like is fun.
Well, Matthew Wood's a great guy. I met him in person, and he has been with the Star Wars franchise and Skywalker sound for a long time now. He's a big part of that production behind the scenes and the voices that he's contributed to. So he's a very interesting person from that point of view. Other episodes covered in the Star Wars show, they take a look at a bunch of Star Wars tour card. So a little bit of a variation there. And they revisit the John Favreau tweets that we talked about at the start of this podcast. Moving on to New Zealand Star Wars store reports, about Star Wars product available in New Zealand. Things that we've noticed in the past week of interest. I was particularly impressed by the new Star Wars Bandai model kits that have shown up at Mighty 8. There's a number here at a range of price points, but the Return of the Jedi era Death Star, there's two versions of that, one that comes by itself, one that comes packaged with a Star Destroyer. They're not large models, but the detail on the under-construction Death Star I found thoroughly impressive and quite tempted by that. There's also a trench run diorama. I think that measured something in the order of 22 centimetres in length. It includes an X-Wing and a section of the Death Star trench as a backdrop with all of the detail that appears pretty accurate. And I think there's a laser cannon turret there included. They've also got Luke Skywalker and Stormtrooper disguise, and a version of the Lando Calrissian era Millennium Falcon that has a removable escape pod. Also at Mighty 8, Star Wars pet costume. When we talked about this last week, there was a lot of interest on Facebook. You can dress your dog or even cat potentially up as Princess Leia, Darth Vader, Ewok or R2-D2. The prices for these range from $34.99 to $44.99. They come in a large variety of sizes, so they will fit a number of different pets. If you think people tolerate this for the sake of photos or for the sake of trick-or-treating, come Halloween, then take a look at those with the post links on the SWNZ website. From New Zealand Mint, who are the producers of Star Wars themed legal tender coins and related products, the third and final original trilogy silver foil product featuring the Return of the Jedi poster art has just become available. This is a 175 by 266 millimeter rendition of the Return of the Jedi poster, crafted from 35 grams of pure silver, priced at $175. Now, New Zealand Mint is an interesting company. We have interviewed staff there, and I'll put a link in the text below this podcast to that interview. We'll talk to them about their production. They're a New Zealand company. They sell internationally from New Zealand. They make some of the products here in New Zealand, in particular. They produce the the products that contain gold or are manufactured from gold locally, so that includes their 1¼ ounce coins that are actually stamped here. But for the silver products, they have partner mints in Europe, USA and Singapore. But New Zealand company, there's some manufacturing in New Zealand or Star Wars products, always something interesting, always something we look at covering and archiving on the New Zealand SWNZ website.
Taking a look at farmers, we have two kids' sleepwear sets. The first is for sizes 8 to 14, and it features a Stormtrooper theme design for $39.99 per set, and a R2-D2 themed sleepwear set for ages 3 to 7, and that one is priced at $37.99 per set. Each set contains a t-shirt and shorts, so great for the summer weather. At the warehouse, there is a fun Millennium Falcon themed bath set. This bath set contains a bottle of body wash with Millennium Falcon on the front, and a little rubber bath toy in the shape of the Millennium Falcon that can squirt water. So this is fun for bath times or just summer fun squirting people with water. That is priced at $10 a set.
JJ's has a new Stormtrooper t-shirt priced at $25. You can check that out in your local branch. It features a sequel era, so first order version of the Stormtrooper, and text on that implying that you can impress the ladies if you wear Stormtrooper armor or something to that. Check that out on our website. Cotton On, where we talk about frequently on our website, have really added a lot of Star Wars stock recently. We touched on that last week when we looked at the vintage action figure cards that they've recently had in stock. But their new current range includes everything from homewares to stationery to electronic items and accessories like keychains and pins to put on your clothing. That range is so wide that it is worth checking out either at a Cotton On branch or a Typo branch if you have one near you, or at a Cotton On web store. We'll start looking at all those individual bits and pieces from next week, just to highlight some of those, but you can access that on the website.
There are some really neat designs, things like classic things like mugs, keychains, and water bottles, all the way through to travel neck pillows and plates and mobile device chargers. So it's a really neat collection that's worth checking out.
And lots of sets of products, sort of matching designs shared across things like plates, cups, mugs, matching designs.
Lots of classic characters like R2-D2, Princess Leia, Darth Vader, Chewbacca, and of course there's quite a few items with a vintage action figure style.
So too much to list here right now, but on the website from next week we will be starting to look a little bit more at those individually. So I think that's about it for this week. I guess we are now done doing touring, as they say. Next week we'll be including a lot of coverage about the Armageddon Expo that's taking place in Auckland this weekend at the ASB Showgrounds in Green Lane. It kicks off with a preview night this evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, and we'll run through the Monday. We will be there taking lots of photos. Keep an eye on our website, social media, Facebook page, Facebook group, and our newly revamped SWNZ forums at swnzforums.co.nz. We will be posting pictures as we go, reports as we go, and summary reports after the event.
There's always lots of great Star Wars customers and lots of Star Wars product at the various stores. Places like Mighty Ape and EB Games often have a large portion of Star Wars product on display and for sale. So we'll be covering all that on the websites as the weekend progresses.
So thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to our website at stnz.co.nz, Star Wars News for New Zealanders, and for our next weekly podcast episode.
Thanks for joining us, and may the Force be with you.